Welcome to an exposition of the Gospel of John with Rev I.T. Matura. Get ready to be empowered and transformed by the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Welcome to lesson number 5 of the exposition of the Gospel of John. We are continuing today as we look at chapter number 4, which I have titled The Revelation of True Worship. We are picking up from lesson number 4 that we were looking at yesterday, where we saw the encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus, and what precious lessons that we saw from that encounter and the testimony of John. Now, in chapter number 4, which is lesson 5 today, we have another encounter also that is a blessing. Now, this is between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. So I'm going to do an overview of chapter 4 from verse 1 to 54. Then I'll look at the key revelation of this chapter. Then I'll conclude with 5 lessons that we get from this chapter. And they'll be a blessing to us. And I believe we'll be empowered and equipped. So get your Bible, get your notebook. Let us flow together in the Word of God. Now, from verse 1 to 24, we see there Jesus teaching true worship. He encounters a woman who is a Samaritan woman. And what an encounter it is, and what insights that we gain when we look at this story, when Jesus meets the Samaritan woman. Now, according to history and tradition, you'd understand that Samaritans and Jews did not have a good relationship, because the Jews believed themselves to be pure, to be uncontaminated. They did not intermarry. But the Samaritans, even though they had a heritage of Israel, had intermarried with other tribes and other nations. So Jews considered them as impure, as contaminated. So there wasn't a good relations between the two. So on this day that Jesus meets the Samaritan woman, in verse 1 it says, now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he then left Judea and went back to Galilee. Because of his popularity, he was getting attention that was not good for him, because the Jewish leaders and Pharisees were not happy with the attention and the crowds that he was attracting in Judea. So Jesus decides to go back to Galilee. Galilee is where he was honored and received. But for him to go to Galilee, he had to go through Samaria. I remember years back in college listening to a message about now he had to go through Samaria. There was a divine agenda, because Samaria was between Judea and Galilee. And so verse 4 says, now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to the town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about noonday. So Jesus, who is the Son of God, who is the Son of Man, after a long journey, he's a man in the flesh, he is tired, and he sits by the well to refresh himself and hoping to get some water to drink. And at noontime comes here a woman who is a Samaritan woman, and she comes to draw water. And it is interesting that women don't usually go to the well midday. They go early in the morning to fetch water, but this woman comes at noon, and Jesus asks her for water to drink. And you see that Jesus is starting a conversation with this woman, and he begins the conversation by asking her for water. You will see strategies of engaging someone in soul winning from the encounter and interaction that Jesus has with this woman. The Samaritan woman in verse 9 then says, "You are a Jew, I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" The Bible then puts in bracket, "For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." So she was shocked. What is happening? Why are you asking me? You look down upon us. How can you want to drink from a cup that I have given you? Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God and who is it that asks you to drink, you would have asked him and you would have given you living water." Hallelujah. The tables are turning. Now Jesus says, if you knew, the woman did not know who she was talking to. But he tells her, if you knew who was asking you, hallelujah, you would have asked for living water. Living water. Hallelujah. Many times we lack revelation of who is asking us. That's why many times people struggle with giving. They don't know who is asking them to give. When God asks us to give, he doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our gifts. It is a set up to bless us. Jesus did not need water. Really, he is the well of water. It was a set up to bless the woman. That's why he said, if you knew who is asking, the gift of God, who it is who asked for a drink, it is you who would have asked and you would have received living water. The woman, still thinking carnally, says, but now how can you give me water? You have nothing to draw the water and get this living water. Are you greater than our father Jacob? So you see, this woman is a bit religious. She knew about Jacob, and she knew that this well was a well that Jacob had built. Jesus answers in verse 13, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, water I give them will become a spring of welling up into eternal life." Springs of water that will be springs of eternity. So he says to the woman, the water, this one you have, it is water that you continue to want to drink again, do not satisfy. But I have water that can satisfy you for eternity. That is the water he was offering. Now you are talking of the waters now of salvation, the waters of the Spirit that brings someone to the satisfaction of being a child of God. Hallelujah. Look at how Jesus transitioned from asking for water to the place where he is now ministering the mystery of salvation to this woman. Now, in verse 15, the woman said to him, "Say, give me this water so I will not get thirsty and I will not have to come here to draw water." So she's trying to be tricky and trying to be funny with Jesus. Say, okay, if you have such kind of water, why don't you give it to me so that I don't trouble myself? Then Jesus sees that she's trying to be tricky. Then he steps up a gear and then says, "Go and get your husband and come back if you want this water." Then she answered and says, "I have no husband." And Jesus, by word of knowledge, then says, "You have answered well. You have no husband. You have had five husbands before, and the one that you are with is not yours." Anyway, what a shock. This woman who comes at noonday has had five husbands. Five husbands is not a joke. And those are all in the past. Now she has one who is not even her husband and is staying with that one. And Jesus, descending, told her that, and suddenly she sees that she's not speaking to an ordinary person. She's speaking with someone who has the spirit of discernment. That is why it is critical that even when we witness, we have the spirit of discernment. When we minister, we have the spirit of discernment, because that will go a long way into ministering into the specifics that someone needs ministry towards. Because when you don't have discernment, you are almost doing trial and error. The woman then says, "Wow, I perceive you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim the place of worship is Jerusalem. Suddenly now she's beginning to say religious things. She realizes that she's speaking to someone who is spiritual. She begins to want to start an argument. Be very careful when trying to win someone to Christ to get into an argument, because they'll try and conquer you. You guys, which one do you believe? You say about this, you say about that. What about this? How many people go to heaven? Hey, how do you receive the Holy Spirit? What is this? They are trying to create an argument. That's what this woman was doing. She says, we worship in this mountain. You Jews say you worship in the temple. Then Jesus said to the woman, woman, believe me, verse 21, a time is coming where you worship the Father, neither in the mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews. Jesus then tells her that you are misplaced. You're still fighting over the wrong things. You need to understand that seasons have changed and have shifted. Worship is no longer about a specific place. And it tells you, you lack revelation of worship, but we worship with revelation. And verse 23 says, yet a time is coming, now is come, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. For they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. It says a time will come, and has already come, that God wants true worshipers that worship in spirit and in truth. It's not about the temple. It's not about your church. It's not about a building. It's not about a mountain. It is about your spiritual posture. That's very important. Verse 24, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Powerful scripture. We'll come back to it. So Jesus reveals true worship to this woman who was stuck in religion, that we worship this way. This is our way. This is the way things were done by our fathers. But Jesus says it's not about tradition. It is about the spirit, and the time and the season has shifted, and God requires true worshipers. If you are one that is stuck on tradition and ways instead of worshiping God in spirit and in truth, may you receive revelation today of true worship. Now, from 25 to 38, Jesus there teaches on prioritizing the harvest, prioritizing the harvest. So the disciples had gone away into the city to go and buy food while Jesus was talking to this woman. So after Jesus had ministered, the woman says in verse 25, I know that the Messiah, when he comes, he will explain all this. Then Jesus reveals himself and he says, I am he. Verse 26, Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. This is the first I am that we see Jesus presenting himself. That word I am traced back to Exodus 3 when Moses asked God, who shall I say has sent me? And God says, I am. Hey, here Jesus uses that. He says to the woman when she says the Messiah will come, she's looking into the future. Many times there are people who are saying, yes, in the future, God will move. God will. Yet God is already moving. Jesus says, I am here. I have already come. I am here. I am. I am. Present, in the past, in the present, in the future, I am. He. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. And that is where the woman, suddenly her eyes were opened. Then when the disciples return, they have brought food and they want Jesus to eat. And they find him talking to this woman. And when they arrive, the woman leaves a jar and goes back into town to tell people, come and see. Now you can imagine the disciples see him talking to a woman. They are surprised. The moment they arrive, she runs out. They could almost feel like she's running away because they have come. But this woman had had an encounter, a life-transforming encounter. And she goes into the city. And verse 29 says, come and see a man who has told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of town and they made their way towards him. Meanwhile, the disciples were asking Jesus to eat, and Jesus was saying, I don't need your food because I have food that you know nothing about. And he was talking about prioritizing the kingdom, and they were thinking naturally and saying, could someone have given him food? Maybe they were saying, did that woman give him food? Then verse 34, a powerful scripture, Jesus says, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Hallelujah. When he says my food, what it means is what satisfies me, because we eat food to be satisfied. It satisfies us. When you eat food, you feel full and satisfied. So Jesus is saying, my satisfaction is not on sitting down and eating a plate of pap or sadza with meat and chicken. Some of us, when we see chicken, when we see meat, our eyes go big. When we devour that, we feel we have accomplished something. But that is all going to go out into the toilet. Jesus says, my priority is not natural food. My food is to do the will of him that sent me and to complete it. May that be our priority, to do the will of him that sent us, the one who called us, and to complete that work. By the time they finish that discourse, Jesus talks to them and he tells them, open your eyes. Don't say 4 months till the harvest. Look, the harvest is already white. Don't procrastinate. Don't be busy on other things. May God open our eyes to see that the harvest is ready. The harvest is white. Men and women are desperate for deliverance, for salvation. God is looking for someone to send into the field to harvest his harvest. Hallelujah. The Samaritans came back and they, because of the woman's testimony, they come to meet Jesus. And when they hear Jesus, they then say, we believed, but now we believe not just because of what the woman says, but we have heard ourselves. And then they urge Jesus to stay with them. And he stayed for 2 days. And because of his words, many became believers. Hallelujah. From one encounter, one woman, she became a great evangelist that brought many thousands to come to the knowledge of Christ. Never belittle an encounter with one person. Never belittle winning one person to Jesus Christ. That one person can end up bringing their whole family, their whole community. Sometimes you don't see it, but God does amazing things through individuals. Hallelujah. What a testimony. So we see the power of the testimony of the Samaritan woman from verse 39 and to verse 54 as the whole, to verse 44 as the whole city is brought to the place where it acknowledges and believes in Jesus Christ. Now, from verse 45 going to 54, we then see the healing by faith. So after 2 days, Jesus then leaves for Galilee, because when he stops in Samaria, he was on his way to Galilee. When he has arrived in Galilee, he's welcomed there. And once more, he visits Cana of Galilee. And there was a royal official who lay sick at Capernaum. When his men heard Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, they went and begged him to heal his son who was close to death. Then Jesus says, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe. God uses signs and wonders to cause certain people to believe. So the royal official says, come down before my son dies. Go, Jesus said in verse 50. Jesus replied, your son will live. The men took Jesus at his word and departed. So Jesus just spoke a word and the men believed it, and he went his way. And while he was still on his way, he was met by his servants who said, the boy is living. When he inquired the time his son got better, yesterday at 1 PM, the fever left him, because here he was traveling by foot or by horse, so it was some days of journey. Then he realized that it was the exact time that Jesus had said, go, your son will live. And the moment he believed, faith has no distance. The moment he believed his son was far away, the healing began to take place because of faith. And there John records that this was the second sign or miracle. You remember when we introduced that there are seven key miracles that are in the book of John. And this is the second one that we see. He heals the son of this official. He doesn't even see the boy. He just speaks a word. May you have that faith that receives when a word is declared. Now, the key scripture or revelation in this chapter is John chapter 4, verse 24. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is spirit. The realm that God operates in is the spirit realm because he is spirit. Now, you must understand that the spirit realm is real. If it wasn't real, God would not be spirit, because what is more real than God? Hallelujah. And God is spirit. So to worship him, the worship that pleases him is worship that is in spirit. Spirit means sincere. Spirit means that which is motivated by the Holy Spirit, that which is aligned to the Spirit, and in truth, genuine, not fake, sincere before God. It is the kind of worship that God is looking for. May God raise you to be a true worshiper that is pleasing unto God. Let me conclude with five lessons that we draw from chapter number 4. Salvation is the greatest human need. Hallelujah. Jesus says to the woman, I'll give you water that you will never thirst again. So you see that as long as a man or woman has not met with Jesus, their life has no satisfaction. They might have money, they might have a job, they might have this. They try many things, and the many end up in a lot of trouble trying to find satisfaction and never find it, because true satisfaction can only be found in Christ Jesus. That is why we have to preach Jesus unto the world. Number two, worship must be sincere and from the heart. That is the worship that God desires, sincere worship from the heart. You hear the scripture saying, these people worship me with their mouths, but their hearts are very far. Now, there are many times that people just say words that they don't mean. They are just saying words, religious jargon, that they don't mean. And it doesn't please God at all. God is looking for sincere heart worship, heartfelt worship. That is what attracts the presence of God. That what causes God to open the heavens and his glory to come down. Lesson number three, God values true worshipers. How do we know? Because he says he seeks after. You only seek for something that is valuable. So I want you to know, if you are a true worshiper, you attract God wherever you are, because he seeks after true worshipers. That is why the presence of God manifests wherever there's true worship. If you want the presence of God to abide with you, be a true worshiper, be a genuine worshiper, and the presence of God will be manifest in your life. Amen. Number four, God values every soul. He values one soul. You see that when he passed through Samaria, he sat down to meet with a woman, one woman, and he spends time with that one woman, and the life of that one woman was never the same. God of one is the God of 10,000. He's the God of 1,000,000. He's the God of 1,000,000,000. But in all these, there is one. God values one soul. Number five, faith triggers the power of God to manifest. We see it in the ruler. The moment he believed, the healing took place. What are you believing God for? Or what are you trusting God for? What situation, what breakthrough do you need? Believe God. Receive your miracle. The Bible says he sent forth his word and it healed them. If you are sick, believe God for healing. If you need a breakthrough financially, believe God for provision. If you need an open door, believe God to make a way for you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, Spirit of the living God. Thank you for revealing it to us. Pray that there be understanding and that your word may bring forth fruit in our lives 100-fold. Raise us up, O Father, to be true worshipers that you are seeking, to worship you in spirit and in truth. May we walk in faith in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Stay blessed. Let's connect again tomorrow.
Thank you for connecting to today's teaching. Looking forward to connecting again tomorrow. For more of Rev I.T. Matura's biblical teachings, go to innocentmatura.podbean.com.